about to get over. Colossians chapter 2. Like I was telling Terry down the study that I may have said this a moment ago. I don't know. But I intend to make these Wednesday night services short. And I hope the Holy Spirit will make them sweet. And I hope these are short and sweet. John Calvin, of all people, John Calvin said this. He said two most important things in preaching, or the manner of preaching and all, is clarity. That is, being understood, clear, to the point, and brevity. Clarity and brevity. He is neither one in his commentaries, but nevertheless, that's good advice. So that's what I'm going to endeavor to do with these Wednesday night services. Just a little short respite during the week for all of us. Colossians chapter 2, look at the first two verses. The Apostle Paul says, I would that you knew what great conflict or care I have for you. And I can say the same thing. God is my witness about you people. He said, I wish that you knew what great care I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He says, this is my heart's desire, that their hearts, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love for one another, for Christ, for His gospel, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. I want to bring this message this evening is on things that give me assurance. Things that give me assurance. I was listening several years ago to a message by Brother Don Bell. I was by myself riding in an automobile coming home from somewhere, get where it was. And he was preaching along these lines. Many of the things that I'm going to bring out tonight, he brought out. And I was listening to that message, things that give me assurance, and it was just what I needed. As a matter of fact, I had to pull over the side of the road. I couldn't drive. I was just so overcome with emotion, with joy. It's just what I needed. Just what I needed at the time. Assurance. And, you know, incidentally, I'm an emotional person. Some of us are emotional. This world says that emotion in a man is weakness, that it's a sign of weakness. Well, that's true. I am weak. I'm weak. That's the reason I need Christ so much. He is my strength. I am weak. And by His grace, I hope He'll keep me weak. Because His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So, Nancy and I were talking about this. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for somebody's profession that has no emotion in it, no feeling, no outward, no response to the gospel. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for it. Nothing to that, man. The psalm, I believe it's the psalmist that prays that the Lord would strengthen the weak hands and the feeble knees. In other words, we need to be on our knees a little more. Well, assurance. Every true believer struggles with the same thing. Same problems of sin, of unbelief, of self, and the world. All these things, they beset every true child of God on every hand. They just bombard us, trouble us all the time. They all work together against us to bring us almost to despair at times. Sin, self, the world, almost to a point of despair. And they almost always bring us to this most troubling question of all, most troubling point of all. We're always asking ourselves, how can I be a child? If I Surely a true disciple of Christ wouldn't think the things that I think, wouldn't do some of the things that I do. Surely other, you know, true believers don't have these struggles. Surely. You ever think that? You ever ask yourself, sure, how can I be a Christian? How could I dare to call myself a Christian? I have such a problem. That's my greatest struggle. I'll be honest with you. It's my greatest struggle. Assurance or lack of assurance. But you're not alone. You're not alone. Look over at Psalm 77. If you'll read, it just takes a casual reading through the Psalms to see that David, oh, how David struggled with this. Just psalm after psalm after psalm. Lord, Lord, how long, oh Lord, how long? Have you plumb forgotten me? Just look at Psalm 77, verse 7. He says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Oh, He's been favorable to me so far, and He doesn't deserve to do it anymore. Maybe He's quit. Maybe He's quit. I've gone too far. Maybe that's it. Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Maybe His promises aren't for me. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Well, we would deserve it. Isaiah, he said the same thing. He said, I'm cut off. I'm cut off. I'm undone. Jeremiah, let me read this to you. Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. He said, my transgression is bound by His hand. They're wreathed. He's got them. In other words, He's got a record of them. And they've come upon my neck. And He's made my strength to fall. The Lord has delivered me into their hands, wicked people's hands, the wicked one. And He says, for these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from. Peter one time, he said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Paul said, the things that I would do, that's I don't do. The things I would not, that's what I do. Who's going to deliver me? And this poem, you all know it well. One of my favorite, John Newton's. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love, then why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse than ever knew His name. Could my heart so hard remain and prayer a task, a burden prove, and every little trifle give me pain if I knew the Savior's love? When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild. I'm filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Yet I mourn my stubborn will. I find my sin a grief and a thrall. Should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? This is what we're going to deal with tonight. Could I joy His saints to meet and choose the way I once abhorred and find at times, maybe not all the time, but at times the promise is sweet if I did not love the Lord? Lord, decide the doubtful case. Thou who art Thy people's Son, shine upon the work of grace if indeed it be begun. And let me love Thee more and more, if I love at all, I pray. And if I have not loved before, help me to begin. Is that your song? It is mine. Things that give me assurance. Listen, just for a little while. Now, first of all, this gives me assurance that the Lord knows my heart. That gives me assurance. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God does. He knows. Scripture says all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. And true grace, a true work of God in the heart, a true grace, this is the gift of God. This is the revelation of God. True grace brings everything before the Lord. Everything. And hides nothing. Nothing to hide. Here am I, Lord. It brings everything to God. Have you ever been guilty of something? I know you have been as a child. And you just felt overcome with this guilt, this burden. And you would never be, you'd never be rid of that burden until you got rid of it. I mean, until you confessed it. In other words, you'd never be totally done with all that guilt and that burden until you finally confessed it. Just blurted it out, you know, crying, weeping, Daddy, I did this. And then he has a pat on the back, or Mom has a pat on the back and a loving smile. And, oh, the burden's gone. And, well, that's the same way in repentance toward our Lord. That's what I'm trying to teach Hannah now, is to be honest with, above all things, just be honest with him. That if you just be honest with Daddy, you'll not get in trouble. But if you lie to me now, you're going to get in trouble. I want to deal with you accordingly. Because be sure your sins will find you out. And that's us. We have to come this way before God. Open and naked. With everything. Lord, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Got nothing to hide. Bernard used to always say, honest people won't wind up in hell. And that's what he's talking about. Being honest before God. Totally honest. Lord, you know everything about me. Now, will you have me? Will you have me? After he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, in his, before, in his state of unbelief, he could boldly say, they'll all forsake you. I won't do it. Now, these fellas may, but I'm not me. I'll go to the grave with you, Lord. In pride and presumption, that's all that was. And people say that now. They're able to sing that song, oh, how I love you. No problem. I kind of, every time I sing that song, I kind of, I don't know. You know, I do. But then I don't know. You know, I might not feel like it at the time, Rick. How about you? I might feel like singing that at the time. There's people that say, I'm as sure for heaven as if I was already there. Yeah, that's not really faith. That's pride, all that is. Presumption and pride. Here is faith. Here is coming before the Lord. When the Lord asks you, Lord, when he asks you, do you love me? Then you say, Lord, thou knowest. You know for sure. Sometimes I just don't know. I think I do. I know I do. But I don't know. Does that make sense? Lord, I know, you know all things. You know my love for you. You know my lack of love for you. You know my sincerity. Because you gave it to me. What little bit I have, you the one that gave it to me. You know my hypocrisy. You know my belief. Faith's a gift. You gave that belief to me. You know my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. And most of the time, Lord, I don't know. But you do. And I'm depending on you to decide the case. I'm just leaving with you. I can't trust myself. I'm going to look to you. That's faith. That's the right attitude. And true saving repentance unto God asks God to search me. Search me. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is a blessed portion of Scripture. Psalm 139, verse 1. Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my down city, mine uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You compass my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue. Oh Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You've beset me. You've confined me behind and before. You've laid your hand on me. And although you know all about me, you know everything about me, yet I find in the Scriptures that you still love me. Look at verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too wonderful for me. This is high. Although you look in my black heart And you still receive me
as I am, a wicked sinner?
That's just too much.
And look at verse 23.
And that's what he ends up with. This is his conclusion. He says, well, search me. Go on. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there's anything else in there I don't even know about. Presumptuous sins. Private, wicked ways that I haven't been taught yet. Search me. See if there's any way in me and lead me in the right way. That's true saving grace. That's the work of God in the heart. So the first thing that gives me assurance is that God knows my heart. He knows all about me. And that comforts me. That comfort, in light of my sin, He still loves me. He still loves me. For Christ's sake. We'll see all that summed up in that in just a moment. Number two, the second thing that gives me assurance is that I love the absolute Lordship of Jesus Christ. I love that. I want Him as my Lord. I do. The majority of the people of this world, they despise the mention of the sovereign God and a successful conquering Christ. Don't despise it. We will not have this man to reign over, as most people say. It's just not fair for God to choose some people and not others. It's just not fair for Christ to die for some and not for others. It's just not fair for the Holy Spirit to woo or to woo some and then ignore others. It's just not right. It's just not fair. I have my rights. I have my free will, they say. But God's people say, I have no rights at all. Thy will be done. Not my will. Thy will be done. That's what I want. And this is the greatest evidence of a true disciple of Christ. A broken spirit. A contrite, broken heart. A submissive spirit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Broken in the feet. In the dust. Or in the dust at His feet. Broken before the Lord. You are Lord. And that's the way I want it. You are Lord. Can you say this in your heart? He must increase, and I must decrease. That's the true mark of a true child of God. That's the greatest evidence. He keeps getting higher to me, and I keep getting lower. Can you say this? Lord, I don't want to decide my own destiny. I don't want to be in charge of my soul. I don't want my will to be done my way. I want to be in your hands. I want your way. Because I know the judge of all the earth is going to do exactly what is right. Not me. Not me. I won't do what's right. I'll go about my own way. That way that leads to death and destruction. I'll fall right down in the pit unless you're Lord over me. Unless you control me. Unless you're in charge of this thing. And a true believer submits in all areas. All areas. Faith, baptism, the Lord's table, good works. We're called unto good works. Strive to. We do strive to please our Lord. So, things that give me assurance, the Lord knows my heart. And I love His Lordship. I love Him to be Lord over me. And thirdly, I hate myself. I hate myself and I hate my sin. This is what naturally follows after seeing the Lordship of Christ. This naturally follows. After seeing the holy, sovereign character of God Almighty, you have to come to this conclusion. Like Job said, I heard of you before. Oh, I heard somebody preach a sovereign grace message one time. But now, I see you. Now I see you. Wherefore, what did he say? I hate myself. In light of God's holiness, I hate myself. David said it. He said, my sin is ever before this holy God. My sin is ever before me. I was shaping in iniquity. I came into this old world speaking lies. Paul said it. Who shall deliver me from me? Who's going to deliver me from me? I'm my biggest enemy. Worst enemy. Can you see this mark? I hate myself. I hate my sin. This is the gift of God. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God. Repentance is a gift. If there's no sorrow over your sin, no hatred for your sin, then there's no forgiveness. That's true. This is true repentance, by the way. True repentance is not just being sorry that you got caught. How many of us husbands and wives have said we're sorry to the other one when we really didn't mean it? We're just trying to get the argument over with. Just trying to make a little peace. Mindy accuses me of that all the time. Just saying I'm sorry just so we'll quit, you know, bickering. But true repentance is true sorrow, godly sorrow. Coming before God and say, not only am I sorry about what I've done, but I hate it. I hate myself for doing it. Not just being like Esau. Esau was sorry for what he'd done. But more than anything, he was sorry for getting caught. And Cain was the same way. He was sorry he got caught. He wasn't really godly sorrow or repentance for doing the thing that he did, but just getting caught. The consequences he was going to have to bear up on. Everybody in hell is eventually going to be sorry, aren't they? That rich man. He was sorry he was down there, but I don't hear him saying, "Oh, let the blood be propitiation for my soul." All I hear him say is, "I need a little water, I need something to drink." Being tortured now. See, hypocrites don't have struggles. Look at Psalm 55. A real hypocrite doesn't have these struggles that a believer has. Psalm 55, verse 19. Look at this. You may want to mark this. Look at the last part of verse 19, Psalm 55. He says, Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Does that make sense? David said over Psalm 73, turn over there. He said, because they have no changes, they don't fear God. These religious people you run into, they don't seem to have a problem with them, do they? I don't hear them talking about sin. Do you? I don't hear them struggling with anything. Why, they're just happy all the time. Brother, praise the Lord. Brother, you're hallelujah. How it's a good day, isn't it? But sometimes we drag in and say, oh my goodness, I'm undone, you know. And that's what David said. There are no changes. Happy all the time. If everybody's happy, raise your hand. You know. And look at Psalm 73. It said here in verse 3, I was envious at the foolish. I was envious at them when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands, no problems in their death. Their strength is firm, their confidence. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men, like God's people. And pride compasses them about. But look at verse 2. He says, but for me, I was almost gone. I was plumb nigh gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He says that time and time again, if you don't do something for me, I'm going down. I'm going down. Now, I don't see this in the hypocrites and these other people. They hate sin, all right. They hate it in other people. Like that Pharisee in the temple. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like that publican. Oh, I thank you. And there's a lot of people going to say, we did this and did that in your name. They hate sin in other people, but the true workings of God in a man's heart, a woman's heart, is a hatred for sin in himself. To this man will I look, God said. Even to him that is poor, that is, I don't have any goodness at all. I just don't have anything to recommend myself to you. I haven't done anything worthy of notice. I have no righteousness. I'm poor. I'm poor in spirit. I have no righteousness of my own. What I have are filthy rags, and you don't want that. He says, to that man, I'll look. And to him that's poor and of a contrite spirit, in the dust, Lord, save me or I perish. And trembles at my word.
trembles at it, every bit of it. The soul that sinneth, it must surely die. That's me. I'm dying. Unless God does something for me. God says, that's the man I'm going to look on in mercy and grace and salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a real problem with sin. I know some of you do. A real struggle. But though it plagues me, and I hate myself, I know this. I know that God is not going to give something He's not going to accept. That is repentance. He's not going to give something. True godly sorrow and repentance. He's not going to give that, Rick. He's not going to begin something and not finish it. I'm confident with Paul, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. He'll perform it till the day of Christ Jesus. And what is the beginnings of that good work? Brokenness in the dust. You may feel like that's as far as you've come. But that's a start. And it's God's work. Be assured of that. Repentance toward God. God won't accept something deny something that He gives you. He doesn't give what He doesn't accept. And that is repentance toward God and faith in Christ Jesus. And that's my next point. The fourth thing that gives me assurance. I see in the gospel the character of God, I see the wisdom of God, I see the power of God, and I see Jesus Christ as my only hope. I see the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in the gospel. How can God be just and justify an ungodly person like me? Do you know the answer to that question? Do you? How can he be clean as born of a woman? The question of all questions. Do you know the answer? Very few people do. Very few people do. Very few people even heard the question. Have you ever heard anybody deal with that question on TV or radio? Preacher? Have you? Anybody? I mean, really. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? Some fellow may have slipped up and read across it, but he didn't deal with it, did he? To most people, the story of Jesus Christ is a sentimental love story. That's all. A story of a poor martyr, an admirable tale of a good man. To some believe that Christ did die for our sins. But they don't know why. They don't know why he had to. They think he's just an example or something. They sure don't believe this. They sure don't believe that he put them away. No, they leave that to our faith. No, they say your faith appropriates the blood of Christ. They sure don't believe that. But the true believer, God's chosen people, sees in the gospel the wisest plan ever devised. The wisdom of God and the power of God. How God indeed can be just, holy. That this holy God cannot tolerate imperfection. So he sent his son down here. He sent his son down here to live perfectly as a man. And then establish this righteousness. And then give this perfect standing as a man to passive people. People who are just sitting back. without works. Without doing anything. Just passive in this whole thing. Some of them weren't even born when this thing took place. Yet God imputed it to us. Passive in this whole thing. And then God imputed their sin, took their sin, and put it on His Son, and punished His Son in their stead. Substitution. That's the heart of the gospel. That is the gospel. Then He raised His Son up, finally, without our sins, and put Him at the right hand of God, put Him at His right hand to make sure that will of the testament is carried out. That one He made with the Father. Making sure every single one that He died for becomes Him. There's one. Yeah, He's coming. They're all here. Here they are, Father. Every one of them that I died for. All the children that Thou hast given. They're all here. And the true believer, the blessed man or woman, the one that God has chosen, the one God has revealed Christ to, he sees that he has nothing, is nothing, can do nothing in this matter of salvation. That his only hope, his only acceptance, his only righteousness is God is in Jesus Christ. You know, you see that? You believe that?
You're blessed. You're blessed. Do you find comfort in the righteousness of Christ, imputed righteousness of Christ? Do you find comfort in that? Oh, Terry, that's my only source of comfort. Really. Only source of comfort. When I look, like Newton said, when I look within, all is vain and wild, dark and wild. But when I look at Him, oh my, He's the wisdom of God, the power of God, the glory of God. He's made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's light. I'm dark. He's light. I'm weak. He's strong. Fifthly and lastly, this thing, the thing that gives me assurance, is I desire more than anything to be just like Christ. I more than anything I desire. How about you? This is the final and greatest working of God Almighty in the heart and life of the true child. The final working. The Scripture says God has predestinated all His children, predestinated all His people to be conformed to the image of His Son. And all those that God has begun this work in, He'll create this desire. Yes, He will. David prayed it. Listen to the example. David prayed it. Lord, create in me a clean heart, a Christ-like heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew or regenerate a right spirit in me. Get rid of this old one. Give me a new one. Give me your Holy One. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said in this place, I'll be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. Solomon, even old Solomon, that guy was an enigma, wasn't he? But even he said, let me see His countenance. Let me hear His voice. For sweet is His voice, and His countenance is coming up. And Paul said this over in Philippians chapter 3. He said this. He said, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge, just to know Jesus Christ my Lord. And I count all these things cow manure, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Once you've seen Him, you want to be like Him. Oh, yes. It's like every little child idolizes its parent and wants to look just like them, act like them, walk like them, talk like them. They do. You watch them. You watch them. My little daughter, as young as she is, she's picked up so many traits of ours. I look at her sometimes and it's scary. It's plumb scary. That's Mindy's clone. I mean, it's like looking at a little Mindy at times. Even everything she does. I mean, it's scary in that respect. I'm glad. But it is. I mean, it's just incredible how that young, they picked up so many things. What it is that they idolize the parent. They love them. And they're looking at everything they do. And they want to do everything. They want to talk like them. They want to walk like them. And that's like, I've used it before. I love it. I'm going to use it again. Bunyan's Holy War, when Emmanuel came into the town of Mansoul and conquered that town, got it back from the devil who had conquered it before and set up his rule. Well, Emmanuel came into that town of Mansoul and chained up the devil and paraded him out of town. And then when he came marching in, was going to set up his kingdom in the heart, in the castle, in the middle of the town. He was walking down through town. And everybody was so glad to see Him. They were so thankful for what He'd done, for His salvation. And they were so enamored with Him, so taken up with this glorious King of heaven, that they all got in line behind Him. And they tried to step behind Him in His step. Tried to walk like Him. Tried to look like Him. They loved Emmanuel. and I ask you, do you want to be made like Christ? That's a good evidence, a good mark. I do. For many reasons. For my sake, I do. I want to be made like Christ because I know, Rick, only those that be just like Christ are going to get into heaven. So I'm selfish in this thing. First of all, now I have to admit, I don't know if this is right or not, but it's for my sake. I want to be like Christ for my sake. Because I'm tired of me. I want to be like Him. But I do want to be made like Christ for the truth's sake. Because God says to adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior. So I want to do that. He says to, I want to do it. It's glorifying to God. And for Christ's sake. Because we're bought with a great price. It cost Him so much. Now I want to be dead to sin and alive unto God. I want to serve Him because of what He's done for me. Not myself now. Oh no. I've got a new master now that I want to serve. And I want to be just like Him. And for the lost's sake. For this world's sake. I want to be like Christ. He said, let this mind be in you. And I want to love one another for Christ's sake. Do you feel these things within you? We're not to trust feelings. We're not to look to feelings. We're to trust Christ. Romans says feelings come. Martin Luther wrote, feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. They are. One day you'll feel good about yourself. And you'll feel some of these working within yourself. And the next day you won't feel so hot. So you're not to trust feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. Our trust, our hope, our confidence, our faith should be in the Son of God. No one else to work for me. But if Christ is in you, Paul said, know ye not your own selves? Whether if Christ be in you, except you be reprobate, don't you know? Don't you feel? Yeah, you got to, man. Like the little girl. you've heard this too. You've heard all of the pale stress. But the little girl said, Daddy to her daddy, Daddy, how big is Christ? And he said, well, I guess he was about, as a man, he's about, oh, maybe 5'10 or so, 160 pounds. She said, well, if he was in me, he'd stick out, wouldn't he? Yes, honey, he would. And if Christ is in you, if Christ be in you, he'll stick out. He'll make his presence known. You ask me how I know he lives, the song says, he lives within my heart. Don't you know that? That's what Paul asked. Know ye not your own self? How that Christ be in you? And these are the workings of Christ. It's what I'm trying to comfort you with. Comfort you with God knowing your heart. With believing, trusting in, loving the Lordship of Christ. Hating yourself. Hating yourself. Seeing that Christ is your only hope, your only righteousness. Desiring more than anything to be made just like Christ. Do you feel these things? You got a good hope then. Because God brought these feelings. And God's the one that did this. These feelings are of God. All of these things are the certain workings of the Holy Spirit of God. They're certain. Why? Because they're totally contrary to our nature. Aren't they? They're totally contrary. The world can't produce these things. They don't feel like this. They're totally contrary. These things are totally averse to our nature. Honesty before God? Oh no. Hypocrisy is the name. You don't dare let anybody think you have a little unbelief. That's what these hypocrites say. Don't dare let them see you sweat, you know. Don't dare talk about unbelief. Honesty before God. Submission to the Lordship of Christ? Oh, no. The world, the hypocrites, they don't want to be under His sovereign rule. They want their will to be, their own will to be done. Hatred of sin and self? I said it before. They hate the sin in others. They're indignant, righteously indignant about abortion and all these things, but not this. Me. See, there's the workings of the Holy Spirit. And to trust Christ alone, His imputed righteousness? Forget it.
for the hypocrite, they don't trust Christ to feed the righteous. They're not trusting Christ alone. They're trusting their faith. Ask them, why are you a believer? How did you get saved? Well, I decided for Jesus. I made my decision. I made a profession when I was 12 years old. I believed on Christ. Had a real desire to be like Christ? The religious people were the ones that killed him. They hated him as he was. They hated him because he looked in their hearts, didn't he? Well, all of these workings, too, you can see, all of these workings are the work of the Holy Spirit, undeniable, the work of God, God alone. You can't produce these things. You can't fake these things either. God has to do it. And all of these things, did you notice the tenor of all of them, Terry? The tenor of everything? It's toward Him, you see. It's looking to Him. It's trusting in Him. That's the tenor of all these workings in the heart. I am nothing. I am nothing. The Lord knows my heart. So I trust in the Lordship of Christ. And I hate my sin. But Christ is my only hope. And I want to be just like Him. And someday I will. See, it's all looking to Him. Looking unto Him to be saved. Terry, come on up and lead us in one more song. Sherry, number 255, Blessed Assurance. I hope that's helped you.